Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I am an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to podcast episode number 167, being recorded on the evening of January 15th, 2009. We'll generally talk about a mixture of technology and history and education stuff, and today I kind of wanted to hit a little bit more of the technology angle. Today is January 15th, 2009, which will go down as the day that the U.S. Airways jet landed in the Hudson River. And I wanted to talk just a little bit about how I followed that story today and how, you know, basically since that happened this afternoon, I've been thinking a little bit about social media and how the world's kind of changed as far as reporting the news. Well, this afternoon after I left school, I went down to our auto body place. And our car's been having some problems. Our window won't roll up on the driver's side of our car that I typically drive to school. And it's about, like, you know, 10 below here or whatever, so kind of related to the cold. But had to take my car in so that they could work on it. So I'm sitting there. It's about 3 o'clock or so, central time, and waiting in the waiting room there. And I figure it's going to be a while because they have to look and see what the problem is, and I didn't know if they're going to have to redo the door and all kinds of stuff. So I open up my my BlackBerry, and I'm looking at my Twitter account. And as I'm looking at my Twitter account, I see a couple people tweet that a plane has crashed in the Hudson River. And I'm on, I think I follow CNN Breaking News, and then I also saw it from Andy Carvin, who works for NPR. And so once I saw that, I looked over at the person that was sitting next to me in the waiting room, and they have this this old TV that runs off of... Well, it's not cable TV, it's just an antenna, air antenna, and we were watching some sitcom or something, and I was going to sit down and do a little bit of homework while I was waiting for my car to get fixed, and as soon as I saw in the tweet that a plane had gone down in the Hudson, you know, I said, hey, do you mind if we look at the different channels on TV? A plane just crashed in the Hudson, and the person that was waiting with me said, oh, yeah, you know, no problem, check it out. So then we turned on one of the major networks. I can't remember if it was, I think it was actually NBC, and they were doing some live coverage. But as I was watching it on TV, I'm also watching it unfold through Twitter. And this was really interesting because real early, Andy Carvin of NPR, and I followed Andy Carvin for a long time. He's in charge of one of the educational blogs over at PBS, and he does stuff for NPR. And I followed him for a while, so... He puts out a tweet that says, hey, if anybody has pictures of the plane that just crashed in the Hudson, go ahead and tweet me or put them up, and then I'll go ahead and see if we can get those on. And so soon after Andy tweeted that, somebody that was very close to the scene, Janice Crumbs, tweeted back and said, yes, I'm on one of the ferries that's bringing the passengers out of the plane, and I just took some pictures. So then he put those pictures on TwitPix. And these are some of the best pictures that I've seen so far of the crash, because you can see the New York skyline in the background, and then you've got people standing on the wing of the plane, and it's before there's any other collection of ferries and boats and stuff in the area. So he was right there. So as I'm watching this unfold, and I can see some video from TV where they're flying over the helicopter and things like that, but I have the best picture that I can find right in front of me through TwitPix from somebody that contacted somebody that I follow and now has put that up on the web. And this literally is happening within minutes of when the plane has crashed and, you know, when people start coming out. And it just really struck me this afternoon as I was thinking about that, you know, major media was covering it. And I was watching some major media, and I watched CNN a little bit tonight and saw what happened. But at the same time, I was following this thing unfold with almost more accuracy by looking at what was happening on Twitter. And several other people were making comments, and then someone would put up a feed or a news link and stuff. And it just kind of amazed me because, you know, people always talk about, you know, citizen journalism and all those kinds of things. And this happened in New York. I mean, this happened literally, you know, with 3 million people within, you know, a couple miles of where this happened. For example, I know Robin Roberts, one of the anchors on a network TV, she was in an apartment that just happens to overlook the Hudson, and she saw it happen and saw the plane actually land in the Hudson when she was home, and she wasn't actually working. So, I mean, tons of people are right there, and lots of people are going to be able to record it. If you go to CNN.com tonight, there's all kinds of eye reports with people that have pictures. Well, one guy actually was stuck in traffic and actually took a picture of the plane while it was still coming down. Doesn't have video of it, I believe, but just a picture of the plane coming down. It was very low, and he thought it might actually be another terrorist attack, so he took a quick picture of it. But all these pictures are now coming out of what happened. The thing that I would like to think about or address tonight is, now that everybody has cell phones and you know, has the ability to text message, and you know, if you have something that has a web browser and you can, you know, tweet things out or put things up as far as pictures and stuff, you know, this happened in New York City. But as more and more things happen outside of major metropolitan areas, you know, how many more things are going to be covered first with devices like this? To give you a quick example, I grew up in a very small town in Nebraska, Howells, Nebraska, a town of about 600 people, and it's not a, you know, desolate, remote part of Nebraska. We have small communities, you know, every about 6 or 7 miles, you know, in either direction and things like that. But my dad, when I was growing up, was the editor for the local newspaper. My mom and dad owned the newspaper, and, you know, therefore they were the columnists, they were the editors, they were the photographers. And when I was very young, I can remember that a plane crashed, a military plane crashed, just outside of Howells. And my dad was one of the first news people to be on the scene and was able to gain access and get some pictures and stuff. But the town that I grew up in is about an hour and a half's drive from Omaha. And so if it's a big enough story when I was growing up, you know, Omaha would send somebody from their news station out, and then they would, you know, put it on the local news in Omaha, or the Omaha World Herald would come out, or there were some other, you know, local newspapers like the Norfolk Daily News. Norfolk is about 45 minutes away. But my point is, when things happen in the near future here that are more isolated, the people that are going to be there first are not the major news networks. It's going to be the amateur photographer. It's going to be the person that has the ability to take a short video on their cell phone. And I know this is already happening, but I can't imagine what's going to happen in the next, you know, even, you know, 2 years or 3 years as major news takes place outside of major metropolitan areas like New York, like Chicago, like LA. You know, people are going to be able to report those things a lot faster, and the turnaround is going to be even faster because they're going to be so far away from mass media markets. So that's just kind of some stuff that's been rambling around my head today as we were watching this coverage of the plane and, you know, the incredible way that it landed, and the pilot did an amazing job of securing everybody in that plane and getting everybody out. The other kind of bizarre thing that happened today was when Janice Crumbs put this picture up on Twitter, I went ahead and I began to follow him. So I clicked the follow button. I thought, you know, this will be kind of interesting. This guy's got a major picture. It's probably going to be put on the wire and all this stuff. You know, I'd like to follow him and see what happens the next couple of days and, you know, just kind of see, you know, what his life is like. And I believe at the time, and I can't remember, I think when I did that, it was about, I don't know, like maybe a half an hour, 45 minutes into this event. And I think he had maybe like 200 followers. And so I did that. And then within about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes, I got an email response saying that now Janice Crumbs was following me. So somewhere in that time span of being on the ferry and, you know, helping to rescue the people and all that kind of stuff, he then created the option to follow me within minutes of when this is happening. And tonight I was online and I looked at his account, and I believe he's being followed by about 2,000 people, and he's also following about 2,000 people. So, you know, he's accepting all these invitations and he's following them. But I just thought it was weird that, you know, first of all, this guy's capturing all these pictures, and then in a matter of about 20, 30 minutes or so, you know, he's accepting to follow people then that are following him on Twitter. So just kind of a bizarre day as far as the news. I don't think that, you know, mass media news is ever going to go away, but I think that the rules of the game have definitely changed. And I know some people on Twitter tonight were talking about how, you know, really one of their major sources of news is Twitter. And, you know, we run the risk of having things that might be inaccurate, but we also have the potential to have things reported that are also much faster than what's actually being reported by mainstream media. And, you know, that's a great conversation to have with your students. And I'm going to probably try and have a conversation like that with my students in the next couple days. You know, what would you rather have? Would you rather have speed and get information very quickly, but understand that some of that information might not be verified and some of that information may not be accurate? You're giving up a little bit of that ability to verify if you then accept the speed. And do you actually need the speed of that article? Is it something that's crucial? I mean, you know, the nation's watching this plane crash and the Hudson and rescue people, you know, but really, we don't need to know instantly what happened. We don't need to know instantly how many people were on board or instantly how many people went to the hospital and things like that. But that is what the mass population is craving, is that immediate information. And, you know, whether or not it's true or not, everybody, to me, kind of seems like, oh, you know, we'll find out later, but I want that information now and I need it now. So just some general comments, nothing really education related there. But just kind of thought I wanted to share a little bit of what I thought about today as we watched this amazing story come out of New York. So we'll get back to education stuff in the near future. Got some great ideas for some things that you can do to celebrate Lincoln's birthday, and we'll be talking about those soon. So for tonight, signing off, this is Eric Langhorst, and we'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.